Hi, team. This is your host, Katie Morse, bringing you another episode of Young and in Charge. On today's episode, I am excited to introduce you to Anthony Calabrese, who is the sales district leader at PepsiCo currently. So if you enjoy listening to a leader who's energetic, passionate, and truly results-driven, I really think you're going to enjoy listening to this discussion I had with Anthony. Anthony will go into detail about his journey after graduating from the University of Delaware, time well spent with his team, as well as skills him and I both agree all leaders should work to refine in order to be the best leader we can possibly be. So I truly hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did when I had got the opportunity to record with Anthony. So without further ado, you're going to be listening to the next episode of Young and in Charge. Hey team, welcome back to another episode of Young and in Charge. I am really excited today to bring to you our next guest, Anthony Calabrese. Anthony and I met back at, again, the University of Delaware, like some of our other guests. Anthony and I think, did we say we met at Harris or we met during our marketing class? I forget which one came first. Yeah.
I think marketing, and then we bumped into each other at the internship.
Yeah. Yeah, at the interview for the internship, we each had a panel interview for Harris and Atlantic City.
Crazy interview. That was a crazy interview. They had like 15 people lined up in a row. And they just asked one question, and then every single person had to answer that question down the line.
Yeah, hopefully Harris won't get mad at us for giving away their interview secrets. But I happened to be in the middle of that line every single time, and they would always ask either – the first person in the line or the last person in the line. And then one time they asked the girl right next to me and they were like, okay, we're going to go around. So then I was last. So every single time there was at least half of the crew that went before me. And I was like, well, what do you want? I mean, it's all the same question. I can't give a unique answer. Like,
yeah, it was challenging. That was actually, that was a very challenging interview process, but that's why that was a great internship, you know?
Yeah.
I remember being like, I think I was like fourth in line. So I had enough like time to kind of, you know, think about an answer. And then, because if you're last in line, you got people, you know, really taking some good quality examples.
Good quality answers. Yeah. Right. They would like say things that you already thought about and you're like, oh man, I can't really like, how do I piggyback off of that? Right.
Yeah. But Harrow's was, I think that's when we first, actually met and we had the internship over there, which is awesome.
It's a great internship. It was a great internship. Yeah. But fun fact, I actually, when I reached back out to you to come on to the podcast and reach back out that I saw a video of you talking to students on LinkedIn, I found that your name still in my phone is Anthony/301, which was the...
Route 301, all right.
Yeah, for the marketing class. It was Marketing 301.
Marketing 301.
Or Business 301 was like the number of the course. So you are still in my phone. I'm not changing it either.
I've got people in my phone as like Mark Red Shirt. I've got like the most random, like if I knew you and didn't really know your last name, you're probably in my phone as just like what you were wearing that day. Or if you're from like a different state, it's like Jackie, like, I don't know, Utah or something like that.
Nice.
I gotta start really following through with last names.
Right. Me too, man. I think, one of my best friends, Caroline Sahudsky, who also went to Delaware with us. She's not in as Caroline Sahudsky. She's like Caroline. And then I think it was like food service principal. So she's an FSP. Like it doesn't even make any sense anymore, but.
301, marketing 301.
Yeah, marketing 301. You're staying in that way too. But, nice. So Anthony actually, getting back to a little bit about you, Anthony now serves as the sales district leader at PepsiCo. But Anthony, why don't you give us your whole bio? You know, coming from college, tell our team here at Young and in Charge what you're all about, who you are.
Yeah, so I actually went to University of New Hampshire my first year of college. And from there, I was in the hospitality management program. I did my year there and I always wanted to go to University of Delaware after high school. It was just an unbelievable campus, a lot of great energy, awesome people. So, I didn't get in after high school. I didn't get accepted. So I did the 1 year at New Hampshire. And then I found out my cousin actually got into Delaware. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get into Delaware. So I applied. It was actually a really challenging process to get into Delaware. It's a really tough school to get into. So I actually had a shout out to Donna Laws. I had my phone interview with her because I actually went through the whole process and I had to do a phone interview to like go through to the next step. So I did the phone interview with Donna and then kind of went through with there. But, you know, went to University of Delaware for hotel, restaurant, institutional management. So I did the 3 years at Delaware, had an amazing time, did a couple internships along the way. So as mentioned earlier, you know, we did Harrah's, which is a great first internship to have. So that was pretty great because they really cycled you through the entire casino. We worked at Harrah's Casino and pretty much it was the food and beverage program. So they gave you a lot of leadership roles right off the bat. So I remember like my first day, I was only 20 at the time. I wasn't even 21 yet.
Yeah, you were younger.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was, we were saying earlier, like you guys, I remember when you guys would actually get to go on the casino floor and stuff. I was going to Ben & Jerry's, eating that ice cream. Yeah. I was only 20 at the time. But yeah, no, that was a great internship where you really got to step in front of people and lead people. And after that, I found an opportunity with PepsiCo. So they had a sales internship in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And, you know, I applied through the career site at Delaware, which is a great resource to try to find, you know, what is out there. Did the interviewing for Pepsi, which was another challenging process. It was, you know, I believe it was like 3 rounds of interviews. And then got the interview and that was my first kind of taste of sales. And I absolutely loved it because it's high energy. You're interacting with people, you're engaging. It's, you gotta be creative. And I really, really liked the energy of Pepsi. So I made sure I left it all out on the field, as they would say, and made sure I really secured the offer. So they offered me a role my junior year going into my senior year, and which was great feeling because I got to go into senior year just knowing that I had a great opportunity ahead of me. And then
yeah,
jumped in.
Yeah, sense of relief. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just jumped into Pepsi right after I graduated Delaware. And I've been with them for almost 4 years now. So it's been a great journey. And then should I jump into like...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah. Well, you haven't, you know, I introduced you as the sales district leader, but, you know, you weren't always the sales district leader. So maybe talk a little bit about how you got to that role.
Yeah, no, definitely. So my first role at Pepsi was I was a customer service manager. So with that role, you know, I was tasked with this initiative in Kearny, New Jersey. That was my first facility I worked at after my internship. And it was called Own the Streets. So pretty much it was going to a lot of small format stores. So those would be, you know, your mom and pop shops like Sam's Deli or small convenience stores. And it's going into these accounts and you're trying to develop relationships. They all have contracts that they're either on already or you're going after customers that don't buy from Pepsi. So if you go to a customer that is already an existing customer and let's say, you know, we have 3-level contracts. Let's say they're on like a bronze contract where they get certain pricing. My goal would be to go into those stores and look for opportunities and grow the space that Pepsi has in that store in their coolers, which is an extreme challenge because there's so many competitors out there and space is valuable for the customer. So developing the relationships and trying to grow volume in that store, and the way you grow volume is you grow space. So it would be trying to find out what motivates, you know, that small business, how you can level them up to a better contract. So, you know, if you get them to a silver, now you're acquiring, let's say like 50% of the space. If you get them on a gold contract, you're getting like 80% of the space. So, that's what I did my first year. And what was cool about that, it was my first experience like with contracts and selling and developing those relationships. And you also got a really great sense of pride because when you're selling to these store owners, they're your mom and pop shops, you know what I mean? So like their small business, like you were trying to grow their business and as well as your own. So not only are you, you know, let's say leveling up a customer to a higher contract or you sign someone that doesn't buy from Pepsi, and then you start to see their growth as well. It's a pretty rewarding feeling. So I did that for 11 months. And then I jumped into my first official manager leadership role. So that was my delivery supervisor position. So I went from Kearney to East Hanover, New Jersey as delivery supervisor. So this was this is probably one of my favorite, I'll always look back at it and just say it was my favorite experience, as crazy as it was, because in Pepsi, I always like to say, like, you build your armor. And this is definitely a position where I built a lot of armor. So this was more of an operational role where I was leading 25 plus drivers. And pretty much my day to day as a delivery supervisor, I always give kudos to the delivery supervisors, because you're like the heartbeat of the building, in my opinion, where you're in touch with everything that's going on within the building. So my responsibilities included so manpower for the building, so scheduling through multiple functions, so making sure that the day, like the next day, was set up for success. So I knew how many guys I was running for my different routes I had to send out the next day. My sales team, I had to make sure that they were all scheduled and ready to go. There were no personal days, vacation days, a lot of shifting kind of things around. So manpower was a huge part of that. And, you know, with that, you're obviously also managing like a budget as well. So you want to make sure that you're scheduling to make sure the customer service is there, but also managing your labor dollars. So right. It really challenged you on that level as well. And then I dealt with a lot of safety. A lot of safety with my team, Department of Transportation, I had to deal with a lot. And then also just the day to day. So like a truck could break down, I can get calls from, you know, 10 different customers looking for their deliveries. You know, drivers are calling me with handheld issues. You know, things are, you know, it's really just controlling the chaos. But it
sounds like it.
Yeah. But it was a lot of, it was a great challenge. And I'll always look back at that role and say that, you know, that's where you really develop your grit. My one thing is I'd always try to get out in the field. I'm a big field guy. Yeah, and I recommend that to anybody that's in a sales role. Like, you have a heartbeat on your business if you're out there. So I don't like being the armchair guy. I like being out in the field. So
you're the field guy, not the armchair guy.
I like being the field guy.
I think we found the name for the episode.
Field guy.
The field guy.
I like that. Write a book called The Field Guy.
You should. Retire early. Write that book.
That's it. It's coming up. But yeah, no, I think that you have to be out with your team. And so as a delivery supervisor, what was great is I actually got to do route rides like a lot. So I would jump on the trucks and do gate-to-gate route rides. So you literally would just jump on the truck in the morning, be with that driver for the entire day. You know, you're lifting cases off the trucks, you're delivering them to customers, you're going through all the process. And within that, you find opportunities out in the field, but you're also developing a relationship with, you know, your fellow driver. And you know, ask questions, you get to know them as, you know, an individual, and also like what their challenges are out in the field. So I love being out there. It was a great, great role.
How long did you do that for too?
That was 2 years.
Yeah. You did that.
Yeah,
for
that was
a while.
2 years.
Yeah.
It was 3:45 AM wake ups. So I would wake up.
I was going to say, you need to talk about your morning ritual here.
Yeah. So hold on, Kate. What time do you wake up? You wake up early though, right? Don't you do like 6 o'clock or something?
Not anymore. No, I have a mid shift schedule right now. So okay. I mean, I can wake up early, but generally I'm at work at 10 now, 10 AM to 6:30. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I was waking up for 2 years straight. At 3:45 a.m. and I would get into the facility at 4:30, start my day, and then, you know, it can kind of just, the day takes you to ever how long it kind of takes. You try to keep it to a good time, but it was great. Now I wake up at 6 a.m. on Saturday and Sundays. It's body clock now, so it's good. But after the delivery supervisor role, I stepped into the sales district leader role that I'm currently in. And I'm having a lot of fun. It's a really great time being out there back into sales. So now if I kind of walk through it, which I think is pretty, we can talk about this later too, but you know, I feel like when people kind of jump out and they step into the working world and the, you know, in the workforce, you know, you kind of want to be at a high level right away. There's no way I could be where I am right now if I didn't do 2 years as delivery supervisor. And then before that, going out there doing on the streets, because with the operations experience I have as DelSoup, I know how product gets from point A to point B.
Right.
I know how, you know, situationally, if I'm out there in the field, how to respond and how to get my product to the stores. And I think that you have to have a full general understanding of your business as a whole to succeed at every next step. So right now I'm in a sales district leader role and I'm having a blast. So I have 5 sales reps that I lead and they all have their own territories. I am with large format accounts. So that's Walmart's, Target, ShopRite, Stop and Shops, all large format. A lot of it is relationship driven. So it's making sure that I'm maintaining and developing the relationships we have in these stores. I'm looking for opportunities for growth within these stores. So, you know, if you go to a ShopRite and you have like a 5 for $5, 2 liter sale, you know, my task for my team is, okay, and this could be 5 for $5, 2 liter sale is pretty good. Let's say like 12 pack seltzers, Schweppes, everybody.
Yeah, let's talk about seltzers.
Let's go back to seltzer. So if you do like a 4 for $8.88 Schweppes 12 pack seltzer ad, that's a great ad for seltzer, especially in the, let's say it's the summer. I'm really giving painting a picture here.
Yeah.
So in the summer at a 4 for $8.88 12 pack seltzer ad, my objective for my team is making sure that we have with our stores incremental space for that seltzer besides where it's going to be normally, which is usually the shelves. If we just run it from the shelves, they're going to be blown out within an hour. And then pretty much all that product that we have in the back of the store is just going to be sitting there unless we have a merchandiser constantly packing it out. So that's sales we're losing. That's cases that's not getting bought because we don't have product out for customers.
Right.
So, you know, my task for my team is, you know, guys, when we're out there and we have these feature ads and it calls for space for Pepsi, we got to go after it. So it's trying to get everybody involved and really attacking the floor space at these stores so that we're getting pallet drops incremental besides our shelves. So, you know, looking for 2+ incremental pallets of 12 pack seltzers on the floor. So that way, you know, volume grows, your business grows. It helps your service too, because if you have merchandisers just trying to pack out a shelf with an unbelievable ad, but you don't have any extra space. If that guy leaves the store to pack out somewhere else, now the shelves get blown out and they're empty product. The store is going to call and they're going to be upset. Be like, hey, we have no 12 pack seltzer. What's going on?
Right.
So there's, so pretty much like I'm get totally got into the seltzer example.
Yeah. Well, no, but that's a solid example. How would you even monitor that though? Like hold your team accountable for that? Cause you're not, there's no way for you to be at every single store.
That's actually an awesome question. So with Pepsi, we have great like technology. So I have the ability to pretty much, I have an iPad and I have this application where I can actually see what displays we have out in the stores.
Really?
So pretty much my team, they, you know, obviously sell and they're getting inventory into the stores to support the sale. But let's say, you know, we get 3 ads on the floor. They have the ability to pretty much put that into their iPad and I'll see on my side that, okay, it looks like next week we're going to have 3 ads on the floor. We're going to have, you know, the seltzers, the 2 liters and the 12 packs. Like I'll see that through my end.
Okay.
But it's also not only I rely on that because technology is never, you know, what,
perfect.
I don't know, sometimes, exactly. So my huge thing is I'm always talking to my team. Like when I start the morning throughout the day, I'm like calling these guys all the time. So I just know what's going on out there based off of that.
Okay.
Constant engagement and obviously, you know, your team meetings that you have.
Do you have like daily huddles or is this like you just reach out to everybody throughout the day?
So I try to have like a meeting twice a month.
Okay.
And then usually it's just a lot of phone calls. And then with this job, what I love again is like you're out in the field. So I do a lot of route rides with these guys. So I jump out in the field and I'll go to the stores with them and I'll just kind of like see what's going on out in the field and, you know, ask them questions and look for opportunities. And, you know, we collaborate together. But a lot of it is just being out there with your people, and that's kind of how you know what's going on in the field. So,
okay,
like I said earlier, like you, I feel like the best way to, you know, lead people and really grow like a business is like you have to have a heartbeat on what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And the more you're in the office, the more you're tied down to, you know, the annoying like administrative stuff, which you definitely make sure you do. But you got to get out in the field. You got to get out in the field to really mm-hmm. know what's going on out there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what, and at doctors. So just one of my departments is our central transport department. And we don't necessarily like have the best technology for that department.
Yeah.
But there are like reports I can run on each shift to see like how many transports we did, in what time did it take for us to dispatch and accept the job and then complete it and everything. And I always tell my team, because I might say, oh man, our time, our dispatch time was horrible last night. Like what the heck? But it paints a picture for you so you can get an idea of what happened, but it's not the entire story, right? So that's why I always tell my team, because if they ask me or I ask a question, I'm like, hey, our dispatch time was 4 minutes higher, which is actually, that's a ton of time. I would hope it's never 4 minutes higher than the average, but even if it's like 1 or 2 minutes, it's like, I know there's more behind it than just, hey, it wasn't that we were just dispatching slow. You know, so it tells you what's going on, but not really. So tell me what's going on. So
That's a good point.
They
always have to follow up. Like whatever you see, like that or comes your way, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times, like it's not the real picture. Like you gotta dig deeper. That's good that like for you, like you follow up with questions rather than just seeing something, you know, face value and like, oh, this is this.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, what? Why is that?
That's exactly. Good. Exactly. Because there could be a process issue, or most of the time I find it's a staffing issue or something of that nature. So it's something that I need to improve upon and not necessarily my team. So that's why I always say, like, you know, I go to throughput meetings and I have to present upon that data from our team. And I always tell them, I'm like, okay, these are our numbers, but let me tell you what is going on with our numbers. So it's not just like, hey, we're doing 6 minutes dispatch times. I can tell you why it's better than last month, you know? So, I think that's great. How often do you try to do those route runs with your team? Is that like a weekly thing, or do you just try to, like, do you have a certain regimen that you follow for it?
Yeah. So I have to do 3 route rides a week, but I'm out in the field almost every single day. I will probably just say every single day. I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm like constantly with my people. And if I'm not, if I don't have a day where I'm with a sales rep, I'm in the stores either with my management team, kind of looking at opportunities, or I'm just checking up on stores to see execution just on my own, and then also developing relationships with store managers. So something that I think is super important for anybody that, you know, leads a team. And also just as in the people business, you know, like sales is like, it's people buy from people. Like if you're a genuine, if you're a genuine person and you're trying to help another business grow, and you get to know that individual as a, not only like from their business stance, but also like on a personal level, like, I love walking into a store and like, I know that, you know, someone over at, you know, one of our Walmarts is getting married in a couple months, and you ask them like, oh, did you drop the question? You know, something like that. So I think you should really make sure you develop relationships that are genuine past just constantly going in there asking for, I need space. Or, you know, we're doing this. These are all our priorities. Sometimes it's good to go into a store or an account and just drop in and just say, hey, what's going on? Like, is there, you know, how's service been? You know, you don't always have to be there to like push down, you know, someone. You develop like that relationship. Business. Yeah. And then it comes, a lot of times it'll come back to you tenfold. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
How did you, I mean, that sounds very intimidating to me because I've never had a sales position. So maybe, I guess it would have been in your first role. What would you do when it's like your first time going into a store?
Yeah.
And you have to like tried, like, start building that relationship. Yeah, it's right. It's like, my heart would be pumping. I would have to drink so much coffee that morning.
Yeah, I got to stop drinking coffee. I'm, like, too pumped up already all the time. I'm, like, trying to die down the coffee.
Yeah.
But when I was when I first started with Pepsi, that's what I was doing. Yeah, I was jamming up on coffee, going to these accounts, getting super pumped. And I'll tell you, I did well in the role, but like if you look behind the scenes too, like there was a lot of accounts that I went into that I went in there and I was like, I would try to sign up an account that didn't exist. I got shut down a lot. I went into a lot of stores where, I feel like people don't see, like when someone does successful in a role, they don't see like the work that was put in to get to that success. So when I first started off with PepsiCo, I went through my trials and I went through my trial and error. So like I was obviously trained as an individual to sell and then do well and develop relationships. But there were times where I would be in stores and I left there without getting a partnership signed, and I would come back and regroup and figure out, you know, what happened. But from there you learn and you know now when you go in next time or you go to your next customer, what can you do differently? And something that I would always do is if you do go into a store and, you know, you do develop that relationship and then you don't get it, always follow back. Like you never just let something kind of sit, like go back to it. So a lot of times when I would go in for my first time selling or trying to gain these contracts, I would get the customers that I couldn't really get to, really interest in, I would always make sure I would come back. And a lot of times when you come back and you show that, you know, hey, you know, keep on getting after it, a lot of times you can then, you know, eventually develop that relationship and they see that you're there, you're ready to grow with them. And a lot of times you end up succeeding that way and they want to, you know, sign up with you. But
so it takes a no first sometimes and then circling back.
Yeah, exactly. But you develop just comfortability. Everything is just with experience, and the more you do something, the better you get at it. So like if you go into any type of position, whether it's a leadership role or a sales role or whatever, you're just gonna be uncomfortable at first, and that's all right. And then you learn from it, and then you just go in the next day and you do what you don't do what you did yesterday that didn't work. You do something that works and you just keep on altering it, and you're constantly changing your own leadership style and your own, you know, ways you do your day to day, and you learn from that. You just trial and error.
Yeah. Well, something that I know I've already told you this in our prior conversations, but I do think it's somewhat rare and impressive that you graduated from college and you're still with the same company. Yeah. It's just not something that we see as often in our generation, especially when you talk about your delivery supervisor experience and you did it for 2 years. I'm like, oh my gosh, 3:45 in the morning for 2 years. Yeah. That sounds rough. And how difficult it was. So what is a piece of, since you did stick it out, you know, you stay loyal, you stayed loyal to your organization. If somebody is going through a rough time with their organization, what would you maybe say to those individuals?
I had my, before me, my really good friend and, other coworker there was, Pat Burns. He was a delivery supervisor, I think, for 9 years. It's a great, overall, it's a great position where you learn a lot and it's all about the operations piece. But, I think what keeps me energized about PepsiCo and excited to come into work every day and continue to grow my career and really seek for opportunities within Pepsi. What was the question? I forgot the question.
It's all good. It's all good. So, you know, I think just in our generation, a lot of, like, we were talking about this before, how like a lot of people come in and they're like, I'm going to be a vice president in 5 years. And you're like, okay, slow down there, Sally. But what would you say to somebody who maybe is in that type of position? Like, that's a delivery supervisor for you. That wasn't an easy position. You know, there were certainly challenges with it. What would you tell someone, you know, if they were in that position of, you know, it's a tough job, to kind of stick it out with the organization?
Oh, yeah. So with any type of, you know, company that you join up with, at a college. I mean, I've seen it too. I've seen a lot of, you know, people start out in a role, maybe 6 months or not even 6 months. And, you know, they leave, they go somewhere else. I think if you know you are in a great organization and, you see a lot of opportunity there, sometimes you just got to put in the work. And if you dive head in, if you dive head first into something and stick to your guns, like, you'll look back at difficult times and as in like challenging adversity type of stuff within roles. And you, if you stick with it and you take on the challenges, you will always look back and be grateful for that.
Right.
I know as a delivery supervisor, for the 100 days of summer, we call it, it's like our busiest time for Pepsi. You know, heat goes up, sales goes up, operations start going crazy. In a good way, like it's exciting energy.
Right.
But I remember my first, I don't know if it was my first or I think it was my first year in the summer, we had a position kind of leave. So, we had a merchandising manager who, left for another opportunity, and his role really wasn't filled until a couple months later. So for like a few months, a lot of those responsibilities came on to myself, and another delivery supervisor. So, with the Delsu position, it was also now making sure that we were, set on our merchandising side as well. So that was a big challenge, and that was, a lot of adversity. But you know, there's like two ways you can handle any situation. When you get out there in the real world, it's like you either embrace it and, you know, take those challenges on, or you can kind of back off and, you know, be intimidated and, you know, jump ship. But I think that the person that takes on those challenges and pushes forward, like those are capabilities that you now have that you wouldn't have had if that circumstance didn't happen. So, right. You know, if those merchandising responsibilities didn't fall on me and my other delivery supervisor, and we didn't have to step up to cover that role, I wouldn't have known the merchandising side as well as I do now. And right. That merchandising side helps me big time in the role I'm currently in, because I deal with a lot of my entire role is actually my sales reps and then the merchandisers. So I take back everything I learned from that time, and I apply every single day that I'm in my role now. So if you are with, you know, a company and you see great opportunity, and you know, there's challenges in every job and every role, but if you just take them head on and, you know, you see the opportunity and you see growth, you know, sticking with something, tends to pay off in the long run. I think, there's a lot of growth with, just putting in the work and taking on the challenges. Sometimes in roles too, like you can be into a position. I've known people who have been in roles for only a couple months and they, you know, they want to leave. Like it takes probably like, I don't know, 6 months to feel really comfortable in a role. And then, you know, start to really understand the day to day. And then you get into it, you get excited, and you got to understand where you're at. You got to have a strong mentality about it. And just, you know, if you see that you're in a good spot, just stick with it and keep on pushing forward.
Yeah.
And ask for help too. And ask for advice. I ask questions every single day when I'm at work, whether it's with my people or other coworkers, managers. You know, when people get into these roles, you know, there's, you know, advice out there, look for it, seek for it. And then just keep on fighting, and you know, you will always look back and be grateful for that and keep on pushing.
Yeah. Right. And if you're met with like a similar challenge in the future, like for instance, when I first started as a guest services manager at Doctors, and it was the first time I was the only manager for a set of staff. Cause at my previous job, you know, you had a hierarchy. So like I was a manager, but then I had other managers with me, and we would deal with all challenges somewhat together. So this was like the first time I ever had my own staff, and anytime I had a call out, Oh my gosh. I just was like,
that's brutal.
I really didn't handle it very well. Like, and even, you know, maybe a year and a half in, anytime I had two call outs in a day from different departments, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this, my life is over.
Figure out a couple of the pieces and everything.
Yeah. How are we going to make sure our service isn't affected and, you know, our wait times on the phones don't go up and, you know, we don't want our guests to notice. And now, gosh, I get a call out. I think, you know, I get them all the time. I have over 45 people. So yeah, you get call outs, people get sick, family emergencies happen, and you just got to keep going. So I, my poor employees who bared with me during that time when I really did not do well. And I'm sure they would call me and be like, I'm not going to be in. Yeah. I would not be a happy camper. So
But then you learn and like, more, you know how to cover it, and then you're, you know, you take it on, you're like, okay, I know how to do this.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, oh gosh, we've done way worse. You know,
call
we've
out, been, all
right. Yeah, right. Sure. We've faced way worse. I've had, you know, five call outs out of nine people in a day before. Yeah. And it's like, we got through that day. We can get through another one if one person calls out, you know? Oh, yeah. So, those challenges, those days where you're like, oh man, why am I doing this? It's like, you know, those days actually lead to a lot less anxiety in the future, I think. Those days.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, one question I meant to, you know, maybe prep you for this one, but I don't know, no pressure. It's fine. One thing I've thought about a decent amount is like from our college education, like what do I use in my daily, I don't know, in the daily operations or even just in general. So like from, I guess, pre working at Pepsi full time, even if it wasn't like through college, what are like three skills you think that were extremely important that you learned, could be soft skills, could be, you know, more technical.
Yeah. That's a great question. So three skills I think that you can really develop in, you know, college or just doesn't have to be college, just three skills you can just develop in life, I think in general. So I think this is just coming from, I don't know, just something that I truly believe in. I think you need to really be a captivating public speaker. I think that you have to be comfortable getting up in front of people and engaging, and you know, that's how you rally people together. So, you know, my role, I'm not a sales district manager, I'm a sales district leader. You know, you're supposed to be leading people, and I think that if you are comfortable standing up in front of people and engaging with an audience, I think that helps you really, really, it helps you a lot. So in college, there's so many ways that you can do that. So, you know, joining any type of club where you have to present or just your classes and things like that. I think public speaking class was huge for me. There was actually a UD competition I entered. It was Hear This or something like that. I think it was called like UD Hear This, and it was a public speaking competition. So, I spoke about, I think it was food insecurity, like around the world or something like that. And I didn't think it was going to be in front of like a big crowd. And I thought it was going to be like 20 people, but you get extra credit if you go to this thing. I didn't know that. So there was like an entire stadium there, what it felt like. But
I
had to get up there and, you know, do the whole, you know, shindig.
That is so cool. I didn't know you did that. That's
cool. It was great. It was a great experience, but like public speaking, I think is a big skill that you should develop. And then, you know, things don't come to you, go find it, go figure out a way to get in front of people. So like, if you have the competitions like that, go do it, you know, to develop the skills that you want to, you know, use out in the real world. Like you have to go get those skills. They don't just come to you. You got to find them, find ways to do it. I think public speaking is a big one. Something in school that also is just, I think, relation and actually in hotel, restaurant, and institutional management, I think your ability to engage and relate to people, I think that's a big skill, like your people skills, like how can you connect with people? Everybody's motivated in a different way. Like I'm motivated differently than you're motivated. I've got guys under me, gals under me that they're all working for. Typically, there's a main theme from it. Usually, it's like friends or usually it's family. Obviously, you know, income, financial security. But a lot of people are motivated by other things as well. And you got to find out what those are to really engage your team, which is a challenge. And it's something I try to do every single day, find out what motivates individuals. Mm-hmm. But having that people skill and, you know, the ability to, you know, work doesn't have to, it is, work is work. And you got to perform and you got to make sure that you're doing everything you can do mm-hmm. to be the best you can be out in the field or your job or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you got to make sure too, you're having fun and you're relating to your people and there's engagement and there's, you know, genuine conversations. And I think that that's a skill, you know, people skills, you should have that. And it's okay if, you know, you can be, you know, an extrovert, an introvert, whatever, like you talk to people in different ways and people skills. What I'm saying is just being able to relate, being genuine, like the more genuine you are, I think, that can take you a long way in, you know, in life in general, but, especially in your job and your career.
Right.
So what we got now, we got public speaking. We got
people skills.
I mean, people skills is a very broad one.
Yeah, that could cover two and three if you'd like.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I'm going to make that my third.
There you go. Genuine and relatable, two and three.
Genuine and relatable, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. No, nice. But actually a third one would be, this is actually one I think that everyone should develop if you don't have it already. Organizational skills. I think organizational skills are huge. So like you got to make sure that you have your priorities set out for the day and then you try to stick to them as best as you can. I know a lot of times that doesn't happen because, you know, when things kind of shift around, you got to move around it, but be organized. Like you will do so well and have less pressure on your back if you know what's going on and you are an organized individual. So that's a skill that you can learn at any age. Right.
Yeah, very, very true. Not just college.
Not just
right. Yeah. If you're learning it in college, it might be a little too late. Like you really need that in college, right?
Hey, get that down.
Yeah.
You know, when you're get that down in kindergarten.
Nice. I'm glad that you said public speaking skills too, because it's something I've mentioned in the podcast before. But those were all great. But public speaking is the one thing that I if anybody is like, what's a skill that I should work on and focus on? I'm like, just public speaking, work on it. If you can get up in front of a boardroom full of people, especially if you're at a younger age and everyone's significantly older than you, and you can speak comfortably and clearly and deliver a specific point and make a point, then you're going to do phenomenally better than you would if you could not do that. So, like, do you remember we had to public speak at Harris?
Yeah.
The last day of our internship.
Yeah.
Remember
it was around that. It was like a big conference table, but a small room. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh,
like
yeah.
A giant table. But the wall was like a couple inches away from us. I felt like it just didn't make sense. I should have had a bigger room for that table.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And everybody had like those.
It's like the one thing I remember from that.
No,
the
I remember
table
that too.
Was so damn big.
It was huge.
I was like,
it was
crammed in the corner.
Yeah, it's like a huge mahogany table with like these beautiful, like comfortable
chairs.
I think
it was mahogany.
Yeah,
it was mahogany.
Right. And then we all were like kind of stuffed up at the front, giving our presentations. My voice all like quivering.
Oh, it happens. That still happens though. Like I can get up there and like that's still. I always have the little shakes, and then you just get comfortable and you start going.
But, right, you gotta move around a little bit. Yeah,
I forgot about the presentations. That was good.
Oh yeah, those were a time. Yeah. I think it was every single executive that they had in Atlantic City for Caesars Entertainment overall.
That was big time.
That was big time. I remember going back to school and telling people that we had to do that, and they were like, "You what?" I was like, "Yeah, we actually." I remember my presentation. I had to get up in front of all the executives and tell them that their call center was inefficient.
Calling them out.
Yeah. Guys, yeah. Well, that was, they asked me, they were like, tell us if we're productive. And I determined that they weren't. And I had to be like, so we're not productive. And here's why. And here's how we can fix it. It
was telling the truth.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, I remember talking about that. I think in my public speaking class, I think I gave a presentation about a presentation. Cause I was like, well, it was pretty, you know, it was a nerve wracking experience. So yeah, so definitely a big proponent of big supporter of public speaking skills.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Anthony, I know we could probably go on for like hours longer, but we will have to wrap this up eventually. But before we do, I always like to ask our guests if there's anyone you'd like to shout out who you know, kind of supported you along your career path so far, who's launched you into where you are now.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would have to give a big shout out to Donna Laws.
Donna.
So Donna, pretty much just the fact that, you know, I was able to go to the University of Delaware, and she had a lot to do with that. And I just thought she was a very just great person to kind of, I guess, look up to. And also, you know, she is doing a phenomenal job at the University of Delaware. So definitely big shout out to Donna. Mm-hmm. So in my, you know, working world now, I definitely, you know, shout out to the family. So I have my three older siblings, and then you know, my mom and dad. I got over 14 cousins, but everybody has a very strong work ethic that I, you know, have just kind of grown up with. So I think a lot of, you know, what I'm doing right now kind of reflects to just like kind of just how I grew up with my family and stuff like that. So I guess every single family member, big shout out there.
Wow. Big crew.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think those are the two biggest. And in PepsiCo itself, you know, you find, you know, great people all around you. Mm-hmm. My first position, I had Orlando Chacon. He was a manager over there as well. And he really took me under his wing. And it was like a mentorship that kind of happened organically, which I think is the best type of mentorship to have. Yeah. So he really kind of showed me the ropes and took time out of his day to really set me on a great path. So, you know, Orlando, I'm not in his facility anymore. It's been a few years. We see each other every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But like, you always are thankful for the people who kind of took you and just said, okay, hey, listen, you know, we should be doing this. You know, this is the way to do, you know, these different things. So Orlando Chacon, you know, definitely helped me out with that. Eddie Blessing over in Kearney as well. You know, Pat Burns, Kyle Klingler. I had a lot of PepsiCo. PepsiCo pride there. A lot of people in PepsiCo. But yeah, I'm really talking here.
Hey, that's list. The point. That's all good. Yeah. Cool. Podcast. Awesome. Well, hey, Anthony, I really want to thank you for taking the time today to sit down with me and go over all about you and all about your journey. I think it's going to definitely be valuable for our listeners. So thank you very much.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't want to just end on a cool. No, thank you so much, Katie. I think you're doing a great job, and I really appreciate you having me on. Seriously, this is an awesome idea. I like it for a podcast.
Awesome. I'm glad. Yeah. All right, team. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode with Anthony, and until next time.